笑哎。Little bit louder, little bit louder. There you go.
Come on, come on, come on.
There you go. There you go. Yahweh, that's your people. You might be seated. You might be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I got a lot to cover today, and we won't get to the horns today either, but we're going to get to them, I bet you. This caught my attention this week about the, two pretty great articles here. The Pope is, let me read it first. The Pope, Sunday worship, a necessity for all. Now, here, this really let me down because here, you know, all of the Vatican's daughters are saying you don't have to do anything. And now he comes out and says it's a necessity. What, is this a commandment you're saying, Mr. Pope? You're speaking with forked tongues here. Benedict said that Sunday, which he stated, has its origin as the first, as the day of the dawning of creation. Oh, that sounds good, don't it? Sanctimonious. The dawning of creation was also the church's weekly feast of creation, warning against the evils of allowing Sunday to become, now notice he speaks of evil here, which this is the most evil thing right here I think I've ever held in my hand, because it's so deceptive, you know, it makes the people think that they're doing something righteous, When in fact they're committing sin, breaking Yahweh's laws, disobeying the Savior himself, which Hebrews said, if you sin willfully after the knowledge of the truth has come, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. So they're knocking him out. What they're doing, they're knocking the whole world out of eternal life, salvation. They're damning them to hell is what they're doing. What he's doing right here in this letter, he says, warning against the evils, like preaching the Sabbath, don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, straighten up your lives, repent and be converted. This is the evils he's speaking of. Warning against the evils out there of allowing Sunday to become just a part of the weekend, the Pope said, people needed to have a scriptural focus. A spiritual focus. You know, like this. Don't that look great? Holy? I see some things here on the ceiling. Is that? It looks like nails sticking down to me. I bet you he was making the sign of the sword. You know, the upside down sword with the sharp blade to cut people's heads off who displeased him. That's what they did. That's what they instituted. Warning against the evils of allowing Sunday to become just a part of the weekend, the Pope said people needed to have a spiritual focus. If you could hold your place there, Mr. Pope, and turn over to John, to John 6. John 6, this is what your Savior said. John 6, here's a spiritual focus of your Savior. And if you would repent, you might could become a little bit like him. Yes, I am aggravated, and I know it shows. And I have a tongue like a two-edged sword, I know that. But... But I am toning it down a little. But the Savior actually says here, it is the Spirit that gives life. Is this the spiritual focus you're speaking of, Mr. Pope? because the rest of it says the flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. Not your first day Sunday worship, which breaks Yahweh's law, but Yahweh's Ten Commandments. You could start with that, which the fourth one says, remember the seventh day Sabbath, to keep it holy. Why do you insist on the people turning from Yahweh's holy laws? Why? Why don't you repent now? Why don't you repent and ask the people to keep the Sabbath day in honor of the commandments? Sunday worship, he warned, he actually warned, was not just a precept. It's not just a precept to be casually adhered to, but a necessity for all people. Notice he voids the word law or commandment here. Oh, well, the world is sunk anyway, and they're taking it down further every day. We know the outcome. Very soon, Rome will be burned, the scripture says. By their own doing. They're going to burn it themselves with their own doing. Wars, wars, wars. Okay, I'm getting behind on my appointments. Yeah, I knew that. I'm taking as many as I possibly can every Sabbath, doing phone calls and as fast as I can. I'm getting behind on my phone calls, too. Yesterday, I was off the phone for just a little while. Came back and there's 47 more calls. So it's a little bit hard to keep up with it, but I am trying. Okay, that's Yahweh's business. Yes, that's Yahweh's business right there. Get to Yahweh's business. You remember, Yahshua said, I must be about my Father's business. The business that he drove out of the temple was not Yahweh's business. It was people's business that they had set up, and they made the temple a den of thieves, or the courtyards. It never did get to the temple, but the courtyards. It was a den of thieves where people were taking advantage of people who were convicted of sins and hoping to get an animal to sacrifice. And of course, they had them, but they cost about five prices like they do in the store today. They showed something on the news here this week or week before last where they have a sale. I believe it was one of the furniture companies. And he said, everybody's having a sale. Well, let me tell you, he said, what they do on these sales. They mark the price up 15%, some of them 50%, some of them even double it, he says. Now, that's their sale. Well, they've got to mark it up to pay for the advertisement, of course. For those who missed last week, last Sabbath, I noticed some of you are back. I hope it was for a legitimate reason. If not, you need to repent of missing Yahweh's Sabbath. But your shadow of protection, for those who missed, just a reminder that Yahweh says you must make the Sabbath, not Sunday, but the Sabbath, the seventh day of each week. You must make the Sabbath a delight to others. You know, the cafeteria, if you want to know what true love is, that cafeteria and the bakery, they're up of a night cooking the Sabbath bread. And don't think that this is breaking the Sabbath. You know, they accused Yahshua of breaking the Sabbath. And he said, haven't you ever read what the priests do? What is wrong with you people? He said, that's, I added a little to his speech, at least what's written. But, this is Yahweh's business of making the Sabbath a delight. It's also true love of the people that do it, does it? If you want to keep the Sabbath, ask for a job in Yahweh's business. Do what's assigned with all your heart. Pay your tithe and offering. This helps to reach others who have no food to eat. And I'm talking about spiritual food. We'll feed them too with physical food if we can get them here. If Yahweh brings them, I'll put it that way. If Yahweh brings them. Pay your tithe. Don't steal from Yahweh. You're cursed if you do. Don't do your own work, but do Yahweh's business. Take care of your business outside of the Holy Sabbath. Be ready to be taught. Watch your step when you come into the house of Yahweh, and be ready to be taught, and not give the sacrifice of fools, which comes from your mouth. Luke 2:49 is where the Savior said, I must be about my Father's business. Well, that's what you're required to do every Sabbath. Sabbath morning in the sanctuary, Sabbath bread at the starts at 3 a.m. while we're sleeping. They wake me up with that smell. I smell that yeast. Man, oh man, it makes me hungry. And then I start thinking about the honey and butter. You need the honey and you need the butter. That's what the scripture says. You're a fool if you don't take advantage of this honey and butter. It helps you to keeps you from being deceived unless you do something else to cut yourself off from Yahweh. But the honey and butter and more, and it's all served right here in Yahweh's sanctuary, and more. Great cup of coffee. Gets antioxidants in your body. Now that's true love. Cleaning the restrooms. I heard the announcement a while ago about they're going to mop. Now that, you know, that's not the cleaning that takes place every Friday night. Every time we use the sanctuary, you know, we have to, these men and women, they move all of these tables, chairs, they clean the tables, they clean the chairs, they sweep and get it ready for you to come to a nice place, a very clean place to listen to Yahweh's words. And normally they do this of a night when other people are playing around. but that too, that's true love. True love, not a fake love that you get from churches where they get all gushy and, look here. And they do this to everybody that comes in the door, you know. And then they turn to their husband or the woman next to them and say, I can't stand that person. You know, they're two-faced as Satan is herself. They speak with forked tongues. This is not love. What true love is keeping the holy Sabbath the way Yahweh said to keep it. That's true love. Also, while you were sleeping, now this on Thursday night, third night of the week, is... you know, the mopping, that's mopping with lye water to kill all the germs to keep you from getting the flu bugs. But the cleaning, it goes on constantly here in the sanctuary. In Luke, I want you to turn to Luke, and if you'd get this straight in your mind, you really need to memorize this. The Savior here in Luke 24, he sets it straight. The only reason that the world is deceived, and it's going to get worse, brethren. In fact, Yahshua warned us that if it were possible, even the very elect is going to be deceived. Well, they do that with these articles like this. And to someone who doesn't read their scriptures, they'd think, hey, this is just A-okay. This man is just really spiritual. And that's what he wants you to believe, you know, while the sodomy goes on in that department. And, of course, they're well known for this. And Yahweh said before they ever started calling themselves universal, he showed them in Jeremiah 23 and verse 14 and 15, he says they're all like Sodom and Gomorrah. And, of course, that's what the news depicts them to be every once in a while when they get caught or somebody has nerve enough to file against them, and they have by the thousands recently. And of course, it's all kind of hush-hush now. I think they got onto the news media for ever reporting it to begin with, and I'm wondering about the police officers that that tapped the phones and so forth, if they're still in existence or if they lost their jobs or what. But you notice how quickly it quietened down. They didn't put them in jail and say, you're worse than Al Capone, like they did me for teaching the message of Yahweh. but they'll be patting them on the back pretty soon, saying how holy they are for instituting the first day of the week and instituting breaking Yahweh's law. But Yahshua said in Luke 24 and verse 25, now put yourself in this position, put your name here in this verse, and know that this is speaking of you if you don't start believing everything that the prophets have spoken. Now you can say you believe and then you don't hear my words, you're breaking what the prophets have spoken, because that's all I bring. It's what the prophets have spoken. That and the Savior and the apostles. Well, can't you trust your heart? No, I think it was Jeremiah himself that said the heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. You know, the heart finds things to lust after. It's your mind that you've got to use to control your heart and to teach your heart what it can lust after and what it can't. And of course, your mind is what controls your whole body, your tongue, your eyes, everything. He said, if you look on a woman to lust after you, after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. So you've taught your heart to do this. That's what he's saying. But believe all that the prophets have spoken. Don't believe the Pope when he tells you to break the laws. 1 John 3:7-8 speaks of that man when it says, don't be deceived. He who practices the laws of Yahweh are righteous. He who doesn't practice the laws of Yahweh, each Sabbath, you belong to Satan. That's what he says. You cut yourself off from Yahweh. Isaiah 59:1-2 says your sins cut you off from Yahweh. The only way to break that barrier between you and Yahweh that sin brings is to repent, Acts 3:19, and be converted and stop breaking the laws of Yahweh. So what do we do? Let's go over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, here's what Yahweh tells you to do. Plain and simple. And there's no other way to salvation. There is no other way to salvation, no other place of salvation than what Yahweh is telling you here, and you're a fool if you don't believe it. What do I do? Trust in my heart? No. You can't even decide for yourself. You've got to let Yahweh tell you the way into that kingdom. It's a straight and narrow passage, brethren. And the Savior said this, enter in through this narrow gate, because many there be that go the other way. The many, the majority. But here in chapter 12 and verse 5, he says, but you are to seek the habitation of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh, your Father, shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. Did I read that wrong? Did it say, there you can go if you want to, if you have time? Is that what it said? Well, you're a fool if you don't believe what he has spoken. Now, if you remember this, and you remember the words of the Savior in Yochanan 6:29, where he said, you must believe, this is the work of Yahweh, that you believe the one sent. The work. Remember that? The work of Yahweh. It's a work of Yahweh. That's what we've been preaching about now for several weeks, talking about some famous prophecies which prophesy about a servant of Yahweh, And of course, this is starts with Isaiah 41, if you want to be turning there. He says, go to the place where Yahweh chooses to place his name. And then Yahweh shows you where he chooses to place his name. And he says, I will have no other work. Get that? Amos 3:7. I will have no other work. But here in Isaiah 41, this is the famous prophecies that they're speaking of, and only the house of Yahweh knows and can answer these questions. We have the answers. We're the only ones on earth that have these answers. No one else has been given this. People have desired to have it. The Malachim in heaven have desired to have it and couldn't have it. And no one has been given it until these last days when Yahweh says, I will establish my work or my house. Well, he didn't just establish a house, a building. He established a people which he says is going to go and convert the whole universe eventually. Praise Yahweh. Well, this 41 now, in verse 2, we see a man, a righteous man, not just a man, but a righteous man that was raised from the dead, a righteous man from the east. And this, of course, establishes what the east means. When you see the word east from now on, you know what it means. Because you know where this man was born and where he died, where he lived and worked. And of course, where they hung him on the stake. They didn't hang him on a cross. This is another lie. They hung him on a stake with his hands up over his head. They called him to his feet, gave him the nation. So this now establishes something else besides just the establishing the word east here, being the land of Israel. It also sets out a work here. He gave him the nations. Well, what for? So he could get a lot of tribute from him, like any king, all the earthly kings do, you know, say, bring me all these taxes to my coffer here, and I'm going to hide them in this building, and then I'm going to show everybody how rich I am. And then Yahweh says to that person, well, because you showed these, now this man's going to have them. And they're going to come in here and they're going to beat you down. Your brothers that's in this other tribe over here, or come out of this other tribe, is going to come in and beat you down and take all of this away from you. Well, this is the lust of the world, the way of the kings of the east. Our king is not like this. Praise Yahweh. Our king is a servant to his people, like Yahweh was on the very first seventh-day Sabbath. He was a servant. He made the Sabbath a blessing to the people. I'm going to harp on that until we get into the kingdom, because my rest that I offer you, Yahweh says, is glorious. And I want you to have it. But they gave him the nations, see? So this establishes the fact that a prophesied work is to start. Because you're going to go to the nations. Well, you've got to remember to understand this prophecy right here, because let me read this again to you. It says, this is the first of the famous prophecies concerning the great future servant of what they called the Lord. It was actually Yahweh but they don't know the difference. That's more the deception of the Catholic Church, where he takes out the name of Yahweh and the name of the Savior. And of course they admit they did this. They admit Titus did it, but they don't make any effort to correct the sins of Titus either, any more than they will Pope Benedict. They won't make any efforts to correct his sins in the Catholic Church. Yahweh says they won't. I'm not just speaking off the top of my head. I'm speaking of Revelation 9:20-21, where it says they won't repent even after they've killed one-third of the people over that fourth part of the earth in and around the great river Euphrates. They're going to go on killing until the sun is darkened by nuclear war. It's speaking of the city that sits on seven hills. What other city sits on seven hills that rules the kings of the earth? That is in Revelation 17 and in my previous sermon. Interpreters, I read again here, interpreters have struggled with the question, who is meant by the servant. Some think the servant is the Lord, and others think it's the people of Israel. Others think it makes reference to the faithful part of the people. Others, the ideal people of Israel. Still others think that the prophet, think it's the prophets as a group. The prophets as a group. Another, now that sounds great, don't it? That sounds logical right there. And of course, people can be deceived by that right there. See, the many statements, many of these groups, they have many people following each group, and they're all deceived. They don't know who this person is, but they think it's the prophets as a group. Another large group of the scholars believes that it's the servant of the Lord, is the Messiah, the one who will establish God's kingdom on earth. Now, this is their writing. Of course, they're referring to a coming kingdom of Yahweh Shammai. That's his name, and take the name off of it. But get your mind now on this verse right here. One is raised from the dead. This is the famous prophecy, and it establishes many things right here that you can look for in the other prophecy. But one thing, the thing that it establishes, is they know this. That the scholars know that it establishes a work by a certain man in the last days. They know of the two witnesses. What they don't know is that one of them was prophesied to die. And the other one was prophesied to take the whole load and proceed ahead then. You know, we were just talking about this week, and I was thinking, and let it be heard, that my brother, the last time I went to see him, there was a group trying to steal forcefully the name of the house of Yahweh, trying to steal it. They still are. That man is dead, but the rest of them are still trying to steal his name, and others are too. The house of Yahweh, when Yahweh first started pushing us to make this known, to publish it. Remember the word publish too. When we first started this, then you know, the house of Yahweh was an unwanted name. It was not acceptable or desirable to the not even the sound was desirable to people. And the name Yahweh wasn't either, but the name house of Yahweh was even worse for some reason. But then after it became popular and people, the way it became popular was people started looking into the books that we said to look for. And then they said, why aren't we using this name? Well, most of the time they found out that Yahweh sewed that name up to where they can't use it. And of course, he's done that down through the years by one means after another. He's kept people from using it because they want to stay hooked up in sin and still use the name. If you remember, Yahweh said he would take it out of their mouth. Anyway, I went to Odessa to get with my brother, the other witness called Jacob, and to have him sign the papers to limit the use of the name House of Yahweh, which he did. And I didn't know he was that near to death. I knew that the prophecy said he was going to die, and I simply wouldn't believe it. I said, no, I'm not going to believe it. But the prophecy is true. And the doctors couldn't find a cause for his death, but he died. But he told me that day, he said, I've been wanting to come to the house of Yahweh in Abilene. But he said, I think if I did, that all the people here would simply fall away from Yahweh. It wasn't a selfish thing that he had in his mind. It was a very unselfish thing that he thought he had to stay there to keep those people from falling away. I think he may have helped, but anyway, it was only after his death that I accepted it and accepted the scripture that said Yahweh was going to let the first witness die, and the second one then, like Yochanan said, I've got to diminish, but you're going to excel. And speaking of Yahshua, well, that was the same. My brother was 10 years older than I was, and I trusted him explicitly. We studied day and night together. Of course, I depended on him a lot. I depended on him, to find the answers in research and to make up his mind, of course, and to what would be acceptable and what wasn't. And it was a hard job. Anyway, the work went on as prophecy said it would, and that's the important part. And now it's going to the nations, but it started right here with the Savior. Now, this is the only one raised from the dead. He was the only truly, totally, completely righteous man that ever lived that the scripture speaks of. We don't know of one that ever lived totally without sin except this one. And Yahweh raised him from the dead. That's the only one we have a record of. I said yesterday that the Catholic Church, they've got to have another Bible. And I said, you know, these things are too plain in this scripture. And to come out dedicating peace to Mary, there's no such thing in the scripture. And all through the Holy Scriptures, the Queen of Heaven has been condemned as one who is bringing mankind down. And yet, it's her that is being pushed today. And I said, they've got to have another Bible somewhere that they're following, because everything in this Bible that they claim to follow condemns what they're doing, if you know of such a thing. Now, otherwise, it's got to be from word of mouth from her, because a person can't be this deceived to where you have one thing in the Holy Scriptures that offers salvation, and this is the only book on earth that offers salvation. Yahweh is the only one that has power of life, life and death. He's the only one that lays claim to that. He's the only one that lays claim to being able to predict the future. And the prophecies, all of his prophecies, come to pass in detail. And what I've been covering in weeks now, several weeks, is the little bitty nits and pieces where he's actually saying, talking about the witnesses, and he gives you the details of their life, what they're going to do, and how they will do it, how they will bring this about. And then for Jacob to die, and I knew he was going to die, and I knew that was a prophecy. I just refused to accept it, that's all. But after he died, then I accepted the prophecy and went on with the work. Now, the last day's work, he shows he gave him the nations before him and made him rule, made him the ruler over kings. Now, of course, you know how Yahshua rules. He rules as Yahweh, very merciful. He teaches, he guides, he directs. He admonishes. And all of this, of course, is brought forth in his teachings, where the history of his life here on earth. Well, he's the ruler then. He's to become the ruler of the nations. He said, but Yahweh said, set here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So he's ruling through someone else. And this tells you right here that with the scripture, in Psalms, sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, how am I going to do this then? Remember, thither the work to the donkeys. Boy, what a prophecy this is. And no one has ever understood it until Yahweh established his house in the last days. And lo and behold, we find a prophecy in Daniel 12. It says, it's closed and sealed until the last days. So everything, the little bits and pieces. So why would it be so hard for a person to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Why is it so hard for the Catholic Church to believe this and repent? Well, of course, Yahweh says their mind is closed. And Yahshua even explained that to you and said, few there be is going to find this. You know, you should be praising Yahweh, yes, that he has called you to his house. But let's go on here. They made him ruler then. He gave him the nations before him to be ruler over kings. Well, that time is not yet. You know, he doesn't take that. That's shown he doesn't take that power until late, very late in the game, until 4/5 of the earth's population is wiped out. Who gave them, ruler over kings, who gave them as the dust to the sword. So here we see war prophesied in this also. Yahweh gave this. He allowed this to be, the fighting to go on. And as Yahshua said, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. He is talking about this upside down sword that they say is a cross that was also shown to Constantine and said, by this you will conquer. By this you'll kill, you'll murder, as Constantine did. The sword, I might explain something to you here. These people are not being judged right now. And they will be judged later. They'll be resurrected. People who have mistreated their bodies with sin and come straight down, it's brought their strength down. They will die. They die in their sins, but they won't be resurrected in those sins. They'll be resurrected to a natural body. Of course, praise Yahweh. He's not willing that any should perish. And he has a time period when those people's minds will be opened as yours is today. Now, some of those people being kinfolks, they might could cause you to lose your salvation. And then later, they'll get theirs. It's that possible. So be careful with your kinfolks, especially this time of the year, because they're all wanting to give you Christmas presents. I haven't got to the sermon on gifts, because that's going to take many, and I don't want to get into it right now, but I am going to bring it. But the only gifts that I can see that are legal is an inheritance gift, which a person can give their children, an inheritance gift. Gifts are given between father and children, not between them. They didn't exchange. It's the exchanging of gifts that brought this Christmas, that started the Christmas celebration for money. And of course, that was the advertisements. If you noticed Halloween this year, one man said he wasn't making it on his farm, and he saw that he couldn't pay the bills anymore, and he's going to lose his farm, his tractor, and all this. So he had been studying about making a barn a haunted barn. So this is what he did. And he put quite a bit of money in this thing. He had some paid actors and actresses, and it was real. He charged you $40. He charges $40 a head to walk through this house and barn where people jump out at you and make a funny face, and they're painted with blood all over, and some of them look like skeletons and things like this. but they're set in places where they can jump out and I guess you give you a buzz by scaring you. And they pay $40 a head. He said, in one night here, just in the few nights that we're open, not one night, but one season, he says, I make enough money to pay all my bills the rest of the year. Why do I want a farm? Well, that's what Christmas is about. That's what Halloween is about. And when the last time we were in Israel, or one time we were in Israel, and it was near Halloween, and we find out that the Hebrew people there, they don't celebrate it like the Hebrew people here. They start wearing their ghost and goblin, dresses and pants and things. They start wearing it a week or two early, and they go clear through Halloween still wearing it. I don't know when they decide to change, but there's got to be a cutoff point and a beginning point somewhere, I think. But I didn't ask. I didn't want to know, really. But anyway, it's a money-making thing, like the Christmas tree. Well, he gave them the sword, like the dust to the sword, as wind-blown stubble to the bow. I'll get into this in detail, these words here, to show you that. But I want you to see the work that is cut out here for you, the work that he has prophesied here. But to find that work, and we know now, we just read where they, the scholars, know this is a future servant of Yahweh, not the Lord, but a future servant of Yahweh. Well, if you'll go back, and this is what you've missed here, you great scholars, and I know that your minds have been hidden. I mean, your minds have been blotted from ever knowing this. Believe me, I respect the scholars for studying. I've gained much from what is written, what Yahweh has allowed to be written in the way of books, in the way of dictionaries, commentaries. I've gained much from the scholars before me. So I have a great deal of respect for you. But if you go back to chapter 2 of Isaiah, you'll see where this work was actually prophesied, not first, but where Isaiah was talking about it in detail, partly detailed anyway, partly detailed. And I'll just point out some things here that will clue you in if you will just bear with me and study closely. It's not an easy subject to understand, and I've been harping on this for several weeks and still got new things to show you in this for you to understand it fully. I want the house of Yahweh to know this like the back of their hand. I don't want you being deceived. Praise Yahweh. Okay, in chapter 2, verse 2, it says it will come to pass in the last day. Well, what is going to come to pass is a work that takes place here in the last days. That's exactly what Isaiah is speaking of, the future, and you know this. You know it's a future servant. Well, here it shows you this work that's going to take place in the last day. If you go back to Genesis 49, here he's speaking of the 12 tribes that's taken over the world. Taken over the world. Totally. Totally taken it over. And still fighting among themselves. They haven't changed a bit. They're still fighting each other. They're a bunch of warmongers. And of course, they're the ones that rejected Yahweh's laws. In Egypt, as Daniel 7 and 8 shows, they're the ones that brought Christmas and Easter out of Egypt and started celebrating it in the land of Israel. Then many went back and took over Egypt after it was devastated. Many of them turned back to Egypt, went back, took the nation, and Egypt and Israel became one. Now, all of them didn't go back, but many of them did and took over that nation. But here, if you'll look at Genesis 49, verse 1, the last two words says, the last days. Well, in the last days, Isaiah said, I'll establish my work, my house, in the last days, and shows you it's going to be established in the chief of the nations. Chief of the nations wasn't discovered then, but Zechariah 4 and 5 shows that it would be discovered and that it would become a Babylonian land, but it wasn't at that time. Wasn't discovered till 1492 officially when Britain took it over. Well, here he says now, I'm going to show you what will take place in the last days. The last days. So this ties this work here that he's going to show you of the 12 tribes in with the work of Isaiah 41 verse 2, then also Isaiah 42, where it's speaking of two witnesses, then and Yahshua, and then Isaiah 44, 43 and 44, and Isaiah 2:2 that we just read, in the last days. So you see the day, the words here. He gives you clues. Here a little and there a little. And when you read this and your mind, Yahweh starts training your mind, when you read something else over here, you'll say, hey, man, that fits, don't it? It just comes together like hand in glove. Well, here now he says in the last days. Isaiah said, I will establish my house in the last day. We have a future servant that no one has known who that future servant was until the last days, because Daniel said it was closed and sealed till the last day. And Daniel said, we'll cover that in detail later, but I'm running out of time. That's the reason I'm throwing it in. Daniel 12 said, he looks and he sees these two people. Same as Zechariah 4 and 5 said, he sees these two works going at the same time. And then, of course, Revelation 11 calls them two witnesses that are hated and take the work to all the world. Look on down now to verse 10, and you see then this work. Now, if you notice it carefully here, you'll see the ruling power. And now remember, Isaiah 41, 2, ruler over the kings, ruler over the kings. Isaiah 41, verse 2. Let me get it and read it to you. That's Isaiah, we just came from there, 41, verse 2. He raises up the dead person, then he gives him the nations, and he makes him ruler over kings. That's the scepter, the ruling scepter. Now, as I covered in the previous programs, this scepter is not a beating sword like the Queen of Heaven gave to Titus. His scepter is a scepter of righteousness, not breaking the laws like keeping Sunday instead of the seventh day of the week, like the Vatican is doing now and teaching and has taught all the world. He hadn't taught, he's beat it into subjection. That's what the previous popes have done. And of course, there's still force going on. The leader of the kings of the earth doesn't mean just lead. It means by demand. And the way they demand it is by the majority vote. And of course, he can, as scripture shows, as history shows, they got so powerful they can shut down nations. If the Pope said to the people in America, don't pay your taxes, do you realize how much money and what would come of this right now? If the presidents refuse to obey, or any leader of any country refuses to obey, he could simply stop the taxes from being paid and bring them into submission. He'd bring them to their knees. Now, it's getting a little bit harder to do that, but it's still possible for the Pope with his power to do this. But in the last days, this scepter is going to be given to someone whose right it belongs. Well, that someone is also prophesied to have to be without sin, a lamb without spot and blemish. You see how it's all tying together? Now, here's the scepter of righteousness, a lamb without spot or blemish, who is the Lamb of Yahweh, which is to what? Take away our sins. Not cover them, but take them away. That's what I'm doing with this house right now, through Yahshua, through the power of Yahweh, by prophecy. Yahshua is taking away your sins right now, because I'm the chosen branch that's guiding the donkeys to do the work here, to bring this message, publish it, preach it to all the world, and of course bring them to the house where their sins then are corrected by counseling and so forth, so they can repent, be converted, and their sins are blotted out, no longer remembered. So we're taking away your sins right here with this work. Now, the scepter is a righteous scepter, is a scepter of righteousness. It will not depart from Judah, from Yada, nor a ruling staff, that is, a lawgiver. Remember, that was given to Yahshua, a ruling staff, that's promised before this now. In Genesis, the first chapter, I'll make man in my image, man in my image, after my likeness, and I will give to him rulership. That rulership is what it's speaking of here with the scepter that is stayed with Yada until, notice, the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff from between his feet until he comes to whom tribute actually belongs. And the obedience of the nations. You see the word nations here. Remember now Isaiah. This ties the two together. This prophecy with Isaiah 41 verse 2. The righteous man that was raised from the dead. Now all of you scholars now should start putting this together out there. I know there's a bunch of you in different parts of the land. A bunch in Israel. There's a bunch in Africa who are true scholars. And if you'll stake this and start studying it, you will see I'm right. The nations, given to the nations, see, obedience of the nation. And Isaiah 41 verse 2 says, I've given the nations before you, not to just take tribute, but to teach righteousness, to do away with your sins, to get you freed from sin. Well, how does he do this? It tells you the very way that the Savior does this next. This is a prophecy saying to the Savior, put your load on these donkeys. Put your load on them. Now, the prophets and apostles are the foundation, and of course his first donkeys was the apostles. His second ones are sitting right here in front of me right now. And the branch is teaching them, the chosen branch, the chosen branch. Now, who is that chosen branch? Well, that's the servant, of course, that he's speaking of in Isaiah, the servant. Let's go back now, go over to Psalms, and get this one in your mind, Psalms 118. You really ought to memorize this one. Psalms 118, starting with verse 17. Because he shows you here, we will not all die. Well, one of the apostles, he says, we will not die. Well, of course, we know he wasn't speaking about this generation. This is Psalms 118, verse 17. Found on page 482. The first words of this start with, this is entitled, In This Day We Will Rejoice. We will not die, he says. So we know this is not speaking of this generation. So the apostles, if you remember what they said, we will not all die, but we will be changed. So we know from not just that one verse, but that says it best. But there's many scriptures that show that there's people that are going to live, Yahweh's people, that are going to live, they're going to be changed. That is, when the people are resurrected from the dead, they will have just a natural body without sickness and disease, without deformity and so forth. That's what they'll have to work with. Their past sins won't be remembered at that time. They will start and they'll be judged for 100 years, Yahweh said. Now, those that die in their sins in 100 years, they'll simply be not resurrected at all. But those who will convert, which I would say at least 99% surely would convert to Yahweh after the sin and suffering, and they saw what sin is doing to their bodies. Speaking of sickness and disease, I've got to throw this in. I had a dream that I was telling a certain person in the audience to start taking blackstrap molasses 3 times a day and a teaspoon 3 times a day. I think everyone possibly should do that. Get the kind that's not ruined, not weakened. All of it is great. But blackstrap molasses, get the kind that's not weakened. That we have some. We can help you with it. You can get your own, but don't get the kind that's weakened. And it takes some trouble. You have to go to some trouble to get the kind that's not weakened, but we have it. But start doing that and then start noticing the difference in your life, in your sickness, and so forth. Well, we will not all die. So this ties us in then with the ones who it says we will not die. So we know this is speaking to another people, a future people. But we will live and declare the works of Yahweh. Yahweh has severely disciplined us, but he has not given us over to death. Open to us the gates of righteousness. Yes, Yahweh has disciplined us. He's let us cause ourselves to get sick. He's let us live by the sword. He's let us sin in order for us to find out what sin does to the body. The way that I see this in Scripture is that the body we're going to receive, it can be made sick by sin. The sins will make it sick. And if that body dies, there is no way to resurrect it. Now that is why we must not ever allow sin to enter this new body. But we won't get that new body unless we prove to Yahweh that we won't do this. The new body is going to be similar to that of the Malachim and Satan herself. Satan has lived for thousands of years, but Yahweh shows that she is dying. And he shows when her last breath will take place, in fact, in the Holy Scriptures. And he's prophesied that. So she knows that she has but a short time. She knows right now she has but a short time to try to destroy mankind. Now, what purpose she could get from destroying mankind is, I guess, just satisfaction in a sick mind. It's like wanting to kill strap on a bomb and go kill a bunch of people. You know, it's such a sickness. But that's what can take place in the last results or the last parts of sin, the ends of sin. 19, open to us the gates of righteousness. We will go through them and we will praise Yahweh. Now, the gates of righteousness, of course, is keeping the laws as the apostles, the foundation of the apostles and prophets is ours. The prophet Yochanan said that sin is the transgression of the law. 1 Yochanan 3 and verse 4. Then 1 Yochanan 3, 7 and 8 says, don't let any man deceive you. He who is righteous, he who practices righteousness is righteous. So he who practices the law, because sin is the breaking of the law. So he who practices the keeping of the law is righteous. But he who commits sin, verse 8, is of the devil. It's the same as the devil. Well, verse 20, this is the gate to Yahweh. This is the gate to Yahweh. The righteous will enter in at it. We will praise you. Verse 22. Now here is the stone now that they rejected. The stone has become the head of the corner in the last days. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What they have rejected has actually become the one raised from the dead that is given the nations that we, the donkeys, will bring to perfection. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save us now. That was explained in a previous sermon. Save us now. This is what they're saying to Yahshua, because they recognize that he was the one that came to ride the donkeys, and they accepted him as king. That was in Matthew 21:7. 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Now that's by the authority of Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes by the authority of Yahweh. Who is that? That's the one sent. The one sent. So this chosen branch, the one sent, is the one that Yahweh says you must find out where Yahweh has established this house. There you must go, and there you will be taught Yahweh's glorious Sabbath day, for one thing, instead of Sunday, the first day of the week. We have blessed you from what? Where do we bless you? Where do you get your blessings? It's only from Yahweh's house, brethren. Look at that for yourself. We will bless you out of the house of Yahweh. Only. Put the word only there behind that. There's no other place. All of these things are being taught in this one chapter here. Yahweh is our Father who has given light to us. And then he says, bind the sacrifice for the feast with ropes, take it to the horns of the altar. Well, my time is up, and I've went over. We're going to get to this. Yahweh willing, and I know he's willing. Just don't be deceived, brethren. One more scripture. Let's go over to Matithia. Praise Yahweh. This one should be an easy one for you to remember. Why? This Matithia 24:24. 24:24, remember that. The signs here, signs and wonders. Well, that's some of them. You know, the one called the deceiver is ones who deceive you into breaking the laws. That's the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church doesn't keep the laws of Yahweh. Now, this week he was using the name Yahweh. Why would he do that? The only reason he would is to deceive and make out like that this Lord or God or Queen of Heaven is, it's all Yahweh. No, it's not all Yahweh. Yahweh is not going to tell you to break his laws. And that's what the Catholic Church and all Christianity teaches today. They say only believe. Now, I'm trying to write on that only believe, so be sure and read the newsletters and the prophetic word. I don't have time to bring it here, so I'm just going to write about it so you can have it in print and get it to understand, because you can't just take one verse out of the Bible, out of your King James Version. You can't take it out of the Book of Yahweh and base your salvation on it. Salvation is here a little and there a little. And you're a fool if you don't believe all the prophets have spoken. You're a fool if you don't go to the place Yahweh chooses to place his name through prophecy. You're a fool if you think there's another place on earth when Yahweh says, I will have no other work. Why would you think Yahweh is lying? He will have no other work except the one prophesied. We are the one prophesied. But the deception... He says, for there will arise false messiahs and false prophets who will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. This is how strong it's going to get. Very, very strong. And it will get worse than this before the bombs are dropped and wipes it out. And then even there, after a time, it will go on in the land of Israel. The land of Israel, but by the same people. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services to the next speaker. I love you.